Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Golden Blood Heir, Book 4, by Boris Romanovsky, translated by Zachary J. Lorang, narrated by Tristan Morris. Chapter 1. Father. Some. I was utterly confused. Almost immediately, a coughing fit hit me. I was paralyzed below the neck, so I had to press my chin into my chest to make the blood flow out of my mouth and prevent myself from choking on it. "My son," repeated the warrior in the black armor. He pointed a finger at Snake, who was kneeling in terror nearby and stammering nonsensically through chattering teeth, and fired a long, black, needle-like bullet from his fingertip. Snake didn't even have a chance to twitch before the needle punched a hole clean through his skull.
"Never trust a snake. They'll always betray you," said my father.
This really did seem to be him, as he lowered his hand.
"Yeah, I noticed,"
I groaned, still spitting out blood.
"Archie,"
Liz called out, sounding slightly muffled. She sat up and stared at Vlad Dragon as if stupefied.
"There's no place for you here," he said as he pointed his finger at Liz.
"Hey!"
I could barely manage a scream. Liz disappeared in a golden flash as a black needle shot from Vlad's fingertip into the ground where she had been sitting not a second before.
"She's back with her order."
Vlad glanced first at Lulu, then at Flounder.
"Acceptable."
"Liz is my friend,"
I whispered. I couldn't manage anything louder.
"She's from the order, but she's my friend. You shouldn't have done that."
I couldn't really get angry with a man who just saved my life and also the lives of my entire crew. But I was annoyed at him all the same.
"It's alive."
Vlad raised his foot into the air and stomped down onto the feathered serpent's back, breaking several bones in the process.
"Devour what you can. Restore your health. But don't kill it."
"I need to kill it, to devour it."
"No, you don't. Devour part of its body. The arm. That's enough."
"I'm paralyzed from the neck down. Drag it over to me."
"Can't do that."
"The serpent's arms, legs, and wings are all nailed to the ground, Archie," Alyssa pointed out. "He can't be moved." I opened my mouth, but didn't manage to say anything before a shadow fell across the earth. Before I knew what was happening, something grabbed me by the collar and yanked me up into the air. I raised my head and saw the silvery, scaly surface of some kind of snake. It must have picked me up with a claw.
"This is a Chinese dragon. I think it's your father's summons beast."
The dragon set me down in front of the feathered serpent, causing me to grunt as a burst of pain shot through my side, where the dagger was still buried up to its hilt. From where I landed, I could see in detail how the beast's limbs were nailed down. Black cylinders engraved with deep patterns had slammed into the serpent's limbs and nailed them to the ground. I felt like I might vomit out blood. I was intensely dizzy.
"Hurry up," commanded Vlad.
I activated the eyes of Libra and closed my eyes slightly. The serpent in front of me began to glow a dazzling shade of bright green.
"Hurry up," Vlad repeated.
I let out a hoarse sigh. It felt like I was literally shoving the air into my half-rotted lungs. After waiting out the usual burst of intense pain, I opened my eyes again. Both of the eyes of Libra's whirlpools appeared, and I focused them on the serpent's nailed-down wrist. I'd never tried devouring a living creature before. I thought you had to kill it first. Under my control, the whirlpool started spinning faster, and the first little grains floated up from the beast's green arm. The serpent let out an agonized groan. Somehow, Vlad had managed to stuff some sort of gag in its mouth. One by one, the green particles were sucked into the whirlpools, from which they were absorbed into my body. My eyes suddenly erupted in pain as a wave of yang chakra surged through my body. It was so dense and saturated that I almost started groaning in pain, but it healed my half-dead body, and destroyed the virus like a tsunami washing away a sandcastle. At the same time, it sent a wave of physical pleasure through my insides. Devouring always felt so good, but I knew I couldn't allow myself to surrender to this kind of pleasure. It was a sort of forbidden fruit, You might easily get addicted to devouring and its reluctant pleasure and end up going insane. Blood began to flow from my eyes. Reality assumed its normal coloration. I looked down and saw a small hole running all the way through the beast's arm, with a little wisp of smoke rising out of it. My body was no longer paralyzed. The blood-caked dagger was lying next to me on the ground. The wound in my side had healed. Alyssa must have taken control of my arm and pulled the dagger out without me even noticing. I collapsed onto my back, breathing heavily. The serpent was moaning and writhing weakly, but it couldn't really do anything more.
"Weak," concluded Vlad. 5 minutes, and then start again. Get rid of the curse and achieve the peak of the Eyes of Libra.
Critical damage has been healed. No risk of death in the coming days, said Alyssa. This, of course, was good news. But you have a long way to go to full recovery.
I turned my head to the side, trying to listen through the serpent's moaning and determine whether Lulu or Flounder were conscious. To my surprise, I saw a 15-foot-tall toad standing in the distance, just watching us.
There's a toad over there, I said aloud. I know. Thank you for saving me.
I looked up into the sky. There were no poisonous fumes above us at all. The silver dragon was drifting slowly and lazily beneath the sun. It wasn't as big as the feathered serpent, but it was close. 100 yards long, at least. It was beautiful.
You're welcome, replied Vlad. Was it you who dispersed those fumes?
No. Him.
Another crack of breaking bone. Apparently, Vlad had seen fit to stomp the serpent once again. I raised my right hand and reached out to Boris through our connection. The piglet was asleep. The feathered serpent had wounded him, but I didn't know how seriously, and I decided it was best not to wake him. He would need sleep to recover.
Get to it. You've recovered enough.
Okay.
I sat up and activated the Eyes of Libra again. This, mind you, was only possible thanks to the very high-quality Yang Chakra I got from the first devouring. It not only helped my eyes recover, but also significantly decreased the amount of recovery time between devourings. Without it, I would have had to spend at least a few hours recovering. A few minutes later, I collapsed onto my back, exhausted, but happy. I could feel my body being reborn. It was an indescribable feeling. I raised my head and looked at my father. He was still standing on the serpent's back. He hadn't moved an inch. His hands were resting on the hilt of his sword, which was still helping to pin the beast to the ground. There wasn't even a trace of emotion on my father's face. His red eyes were ice cold, his thin lips pressed together tightly. The light breeze threw his white hair around gently in the breeze.
Are you really a dragon? I asked. You look like a Belov.
I'm albino, came his calm reply. My appearance helped me forge a bond with your mother.
He spoke the last few words in a slightly warmer tone of voice. I could see an expression of tenderness flash across his eyes. I couldn't hold my head up any longer, however, so I let it plop back down into the mud. The disgusting stench of the swamps wasn't exactly the kind of air I normally liked to breathe, but the desire to take a deep, full breath, unimpeded by pain in my lungs, was just overpowering.
It's time.
I sat back up and activated my eyes. This time, I managed to hold out longer. I absorbed a full third of the serpent's wrist. The beast was no longer moaning, and hadn't been for some time, as far as I could tell. It had lost consciousness.
What do you need the serpent for? And why does it have to be alive?
I enjoyed devouring such a powerful creature, and I also couldn't help but wonder how much valuable knowledge was stored in the feathered serpent's memory. My assumption was that with such a powerful beast, the second star of the Eyes of Libra would function the same way as it did when devouring humans. In other words, I would be able to obtain some portion of its memories.
I'm giving it to the Order of Killers, my father replied.
Why? This was surprising to me. So they'll stop pursuing you.
You did serious damage to them, and they need compensation. It's time.
I sighed, sat back down, and used my Eyes of Libra once again, directing the whirlpools at the serpent's fingers. Thanks to the yang chakra, there was strength coursing through my entire body. Breathing was a lot easier, and the pain in my lungs was almost totally gone. Once I had finished devouring, I rose to my feet with a happy smile.
"It's good to be alive," I said aloud as I spread my arms to the sides.
Something boomed in the distance. The air was thick with the stench of the swamp mud. The lethal expanses of poison marshes stretched out around us for miles in all directions, but none of that prevented me from enjoying the moment. I had forgotten what it felt like, not being tormented by pain every moment of my existence. My gaze fell on Snake's dead body lying nearby.
"How did the serpent contact him?"
I pointed down at the corpse.
"They're both snakes. There's a hereditary connection."
"How did the serpent assume this form, though? How did it become humanoid?"
"He developed human aspects. All free beasts are capable of doing that."
"Can a summons beast do that too?"
"No. And neither can beasts who have bonded with the Eastern tribes."
Another boom echoed from the distance as soon as he said this.
"The Evenki are still fighting the Madghuls," I noted for some reason.
"So?" Vlad asked, still completely emotionless.
"They saved my life. And if they win here, I'll be able to trade with them."
"Who told you that?"
An expression of mild surprise flashed across Vlad's face.
"Olgin. He gave me this as a token of friendship, too."
I took the medallion out of my pocket and showed it to my father. He looked at it intently, then turned his face to the sky. I did the same. The dragon shook its head from side to side, then took off abruptly toward the sound of the explosions.
"I'll help them," Vlad explained, "considering that you're friends."
Suddenly, I felt uncomfortable. This man had appeared completely out of nowhere, introduced himself as my father, and then started helping me like it was the most natural thing in the world. He even took care of the whole issue with the Order of Killers, and now he was risking his summons beast for my sake?
"Are you an Iskate?"
I asked as I sat down in front of the serpent's arm again. Two more devourings and the beast's wrists would be totally gone.
"No, a Quintos. But you're stronger than a six-mark beast?"
I asked as I activated the Eyes of Libra. While my whirlpools devoured the serpent's remaining fingers, Vlad replied,
"This serpent was weak. It's not a full-fledged six-mark beast. It was heavily wounded. I used a family relic to immobilize it. Many factors came into play in my favor."
I deactivated the Eyes of Libra and sighed. A black-colored steam was trickling out of my mouth.
"Whoa," I thought. "What the hell is that?"
"That's the part of the virus that's been destroyed," Alyssa explained. "Yang chakra from the serpent is burning it away. At the next devouring, I'm going to try to get rid of it completely. Your body is back to normal already." Great news, of course, although Alyssa could have saved her breath. I could feel instinctively that I was in near-perfect physical condition. Admittedly, the gauntness from my prolonged illness was still there, but that wasn't such a big deal.
"I need to go to the Japanese islands," I announced.
"Why?"
I hesitated. I didn't want to lie to him. After all, he had answered all my questions without objection. But at the same time, I couldn't tell him the truth. "To become stronger was the best escape I could find." Vlad examined me intently, but then nodded.
"I'll help you, but I don't have much time. There will be a war in the Empire before long. I'll be needed there."
"Against the Scandinavians?" I activated the Eyes of Libra again. Only about 15% of the serpent's wrist remained.
"Not sure. It's all complicated."
My father was obviously not a very sociable person. That much was clear from the way he spoke. My father. I still couldn't figure out quite how to react to him. I blinked a few times as I finished my devouring. Never before had I felt so good. Well, never in this life, at least. The feeling was one of maximal health and full power.
"Did it work?"
I asked inside my own head, holding my breath. I just couldn't believe that I was about to get rid of the virus. It felt like such an intrinsic part of me and my life, albeit a very, very unpleasant part.
No, Alyssa shattered my hopes. There's still a small mass in your right lung. It's dangerous, Archie. As soon as the serpent's yang chakra runs out, the virus will overtake your lungs again.
Well, my father inquired.
Not yet, I said with a pained smile. A little mess of the curse is still there, and I can't get rid of it yet.
Vlad frowned, then he pointed his palms down at the serpent's back. Patterns flashed into life on his gauntlets as two axes slid down into his hands. I didn't see him strike his blow. It was far too fast. The blades of the axes chomped into the serpent's back below its shoulder blades.
Vlad yanked the shafts of his weapon and tore open the beast's back as nonchalantly as if he were opening a can of pickles. The lightning-quick motion sprayed scraps of hissing, earth-burning blood across the ground. I barely managed to jump out of the way of a smoldering clot as it hissed through the air.
Use your eyes on the lungs, Vlad commanded. Does it really make a difference?
I strode carefully over to the serpent's body and looked down into the bloody wound, through which I could see a portion of the beast's lungs. They were gray, covered with yellow, pulsing veins.
I don't know.
Vlad's laconic answer made me wince.
Give me a minute. My eyes are tired.
Okay.
What do you think? Could this work?
I asked in my mind.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it makes a difference which part of the body you devour.
But try it. Maybe it will work.
I took a deep breath in, then exhaled slowly. Activating the eyes of Libra, I directed the whirlpools at the feathered serpent's lungs. Yang chakra began to flow into my body and surged into my lungs like a monsoon flood. A sharp pain burst out in my chest. I almost had to stop, but I gritted my teeth and carried on. It felt like someone had rammed a nail into my ribs. What the hell? When I finally stopped devouring, I almost passed out from the pain. Vlad caught me and tore the faceter uniform off my chest. I looked down at my torso and noticed with horror that something seemed to be seething beneath the skin in the spot where I was missing a rib. My father ran his index finger across the spot, creating a neat, even incision. Immediately, a repulsive-looking red and white lump crawled out from inside my body. Vlad grabbed it and tore it all the way out of me. The lump was covered all over in slithering, writhing tendrils. I regained my balance and stepped away from Vlad. My chest was pounding. I was soaked with sweat after the horror I had just been through. My father tapped his right forearm near the elbow and activated a spatial pattern. He took out a pattern-covered bone box and stuffed the disgusting lump into it.
Done! I heard Alyssa's belated exclamation. The yang chakra did its job perfectly.
Only then did I notice that there were tears running down my cheeks. I collapsed to the ground with a ringing silence in my head.
It worked, I murmured.
From the very first day of my arrival in this world, I'd been plagued by the thought that I would need to live my entire life with pain in my lungs, and that I would need to keep killing in order to give myself more time.
That's it? Vlad asked.
I blinked a few times and forced myself to regain composure. Then I reached down to feel my ribs. The wound was long gone. There wasn't even a trace of it left.
Yes, that's it.
I looked down at the serpent's body. Unfortunately, I couldn't absorb any more of this high-quality yang chakra. My reserves were already full to bursting. When I first discovered the chakra-accumulating properties of Altan, I thought that maybe I could make a battery specifically to store yang chakra. But it turned out that the golden metal couldn't store yang chakra for very long at all. It always dissipated within an hour or two.
Do we have much time? I asked.
If so, I thought maybe I could run a few experiments and figure out how to store the feathered serpent's yang chakra in some sort of Altan battery.
No, very little time. The poison will return soon. It's dangerous.
Then that's it. Thanks again.
I bowed at the waist as I spoke.
You're welcome.
Vlad took a little black pearl out of a spatial pattern and crushed it in his hand.
Then he glanced up into the sky.
We wait. The Invincibles will come for the body.
I remembered what Lulu had told me about the Invincibles of the Order of Killers. 4 very powerful, 5-mark black bookmen. 1 Quintos. Dangerous people. We need to hide Lulu, said Alyssa.
Of course.
This is Lulu. I pointed to the woman's inert body. She still hadn't recovered consciousness.
She's the daughter of the Iranian Shah. They might take her.
My father looked down at her. My words had obviously provoked some serious thought. Then he stretched out his arm, and a spatial pattern began to glow on it. 2 small black rectangular objects flew out of his palm. They fell to the ground and quickly began to increase in size, eventually turning into 2 big black coffins made of bone.
Put them inside.
I didn't ask any questions. I just opened the coffins and dragged Lulu and Flounder into them. Then I slapped the lid shut and looked up at my dad. 2 metallic chains flew out, picked up both coffins, and pulled them toward Vlad's hand. As soon as he touched them, the coffins shrank and disappeared into his palm.
How is that possible?
I was bewildered.
They're alive.
Michael's notebooks said the most important rule with spatial patterns was that they couldn't be used to store living things. If that was true, Vlad's action broke all the laws of artifactory that I knew about.
They're not in a living condition right now,
my father explained. I didn't understand what he meant at all, before turning to look to the right.
They're coming.
I turned to look too, but I couldn't see anything. I didn't want to waste time, though, so I decided to study the stakes that Vlad had used to nail the serpent to the ground. This effort, however, didn't really yield anything useful. As I examined the serpent's left shoulder, I suddenly found myself enveloped in a thin fog. I stood up and turned to the right. A massive, 3-headed snake was slithering toward us. There were people standing on each of its heads, dressed in black robes, with their faces concealed by hoods. The sight provoked an involuntary shudder. The events of the last few days had formed a very negative association with snakes in my mind. The man on the snake's middle head jumped down and landed lightly on the ground in front of Vlad.
I never thought I'd see the black dragon in my lifetime,
an elderly voice said from beneath the figure's hood.
Trade, said Vlad, laconic as always.
Yes, yes, I know.
The man in the hood looked around.
There should be a woman here. Our order is prepared to offer you a 5-card in exchange for her.
There's no one. Only my son. You can't have him.
The old man snickered and turned to me.
Where's Lulu, my boy? And the rest of your crew?
They're no longer among the living, I said ruefully. Only the girl from the Order of Leo survived. She teleported.
The man in the hood didn't move for a few seconds. I think he was somehow communicating with his colleagues. Mind you, if one of them was some kind of walking lie detector, they would confirm that I was telling the truth. Lulu and Flounder weren't in a living condition, as Vlad had said. And Snake actually was dead. Only Liz had escaped unharmed.
Where's her body?
The old man asked darkly. A dangerous question. And I didn't know how to answer it without either lying or giving away the truth. I was about to open my mouth when my father spoke up.
No time. Trade.
The old man in the hood nodded reluctantly, then walked around the serpent, studying it carefully.
Where's the arm? Destroyed. Such material. Damaged.
Trade.
Yes, Black Dragon. Your boy here is lucky that Savina survived. Otherwise, nothing could have stopped a blood feud.
Then take it.
Vlad stepped forward and laid his foot on the serpent's head. When it was pressed firmly into the ground, he waved a hand. The black rods flew up out of the beast's body and disappeared into Vlad's palm. The silver dragon flew down to join us. It was a little bit battered, but obviously not seriously wounded. I finally got a good look at its head, like the rest of the thing's body. It was scaly. It looked like the head of a lizard, with 2 black swept back horns and fluttering white whiskers. Its eyes were silver with black pupils. The beast was awe-inspiring, both in terms of appearance and size.
Follow me.
Vlad jumped up onto the dragon's head, landing neatly between its horns.
I could hear the hooded old man grumbling.
What a ghoul bastard. Couldn't even give us time to prepare.
I sighed, shot some chakra into my feet, and jumped up off the ground. I enjoyed the feeling of flying and freedom for a few seconds before landing next to my father. From behind came the familiar hissing of the feathered serpent. It seemed to be regaining consciousness.
Sit,
Vlad commanded as he sat down himself, crossing his legs. I did the same. Reaching out a hand, I stroked the dragon's scales. They were cold and hard, and they felt like some sort of metal. Silvery patterns glimmered across the dragon's black horns as a translucent dome spread out to cover us.
Hold on tighter, boy.
It was a woman's voice. I shook myself out of my trance and grabbed a horn. Wait, I thought. Was that the dragon speaking? Although, would that really be surprising? I mean, Boris learned to talk, right?
We're leaving the marshes, headed south.
No sooner did Vlad utter these words than the dragon rapidly picked up speed and shot off into the brown-gray sky, filled with poisonous fumes and smoke from innumerable fires. Chapter 2. Speaking Frankly.
How did the battle between the Evenki and the Mudghouls go?
I asked as I looked down at the dark, poisonous clouds below us. As far as the eye could see, the view was gloomy and intensely forbidding. 5 minutes had passed since the dragon took off, carrying Vladimir away from the feathered serpent. It turned out that the translucent dome between the dragon's horns served as protection from the poisonous fumes in the air.
I helped them fight their way through to the core of the zone,
the dragon replied.
But they were doing very well on their own.
Unless something unexpected happens,
the Evenki will win this war, but they will lose many powerful warriors in the process.
A double-born ghoul has appeared in the marshes. The Evenki shamans are afraid that this is the beginning of a catastrophe that could rival the epoch of cataclysm, I explained.
Vlad turned to look at me abruptly, then took an item out of his spatial pattern that looked something like the shell of a little black turtle. Flat on one side, round, bulbous, and composed of interlocking pentagonal plates on the other.
What's that?
I couldn't resist asking.
A luciform, Vlad replied, as though this were nothing out of the ordinary.
The flat side of the strange object flashed into life, and some sort of writing appeared alongside a black ankh. The latter had two little squares on its surface. Belatedly, I realized that this was a scream, just like that of a rabbit. I watched, open-mouthed, as my father pressed one of the squares. This opened a mail application, much like the rabbit scream, except that it was black, with the names of contacts in dark green. Vlad chose one of the names, and a message window appeared, along with a keyboard. He began typing quickly.
Who are you messaging? I asked for some reason,
despite the hundreds of completely different questions swirling around my brain.
Sokolov. I need to warn him about the Evenki and their prophecy.
So a Luciphone's like a robot?
I couldn't help being amused by the name. Albert had never shown any sign of having a sense of humor.
Yes, but they're banned. And the Luciphone works on the territory of the Eastern Tribes?
Yes. But it uses a dark chakra network, which is forbidden. That's how the Shell and the Order of Killers discovered your ship's location.
Analogous to the dark web, maybe, Alyssa noted pensively. I think this might be the reason that chakra currency never took off on Terra. Lucifer wouldn't allow Annabelle to bring her plans to fruition. So, I thought, I was right about that weird village on Foggy Horseshoe Island and its head man. It's because of him that they found us as quickly as they did, and it occurred to me that that village was probably no longer in existence, at least in its former location. The headman had spilled information, and he would have expected consequences of some kind. I frowned. I should have let Liz message the Order of Leo immediately, but at the time, I was more concerned about avoiding contact with the Angles. The screen went dark, and Vlad put the artifact back.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?